promised joining me now, one of the most recognizable characters on the barbecue circuit right now, currently riding a win streak of 4 in a row, including this past weekend in Arcadia, California. He was a member of the Barbecue Pitmaster Show on Season 1. He is a pitmaster of Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue Team. Harry Sue joins me here on the show. So let's race over to the hotline, and we will pick up Harry Sue right now. Harry, how are you, bud? Oh, uh-oh. See, this would have been perfect. Got an answering machine.
Hello?
Harry.
Hello?
Hey, this is Greg. This is Harry?
Can you hear me?
Harry, you there?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here. Is Harry here?
Did you hear me?
Yes, huh?
Harry! It's Greg.
All right. Sorry, I was caught in traffic, so it took a while to get home.
Harry, I don't want to hear about you caught in traffic. We have a very important radio show to do here. You should be flying at home. How are you, buddy?
I'm wonderful. I'm here now, so let's get going.
All right, so here we go. Now, look, Santa Anita Park Winter Circle Barbecue Championship is a first-time event. Before we get into that, cook Harry. First of all, and I'm a huge horse racing fan, so Santa Anita, one of my favorite tracks, second to Saratoga Springs, New York. What kind of a setting was it, and did it detract at all for you or from some of the other competitors as far as the setting was concerned?
It was a really a beautiful setting. We were placed in the middle of the grass oval the kind of the left corner of the field, and a lot of the teams were given briefings the night before not to upset the horses that would begin training at 5 a.m. So it was a wonderful location. We had absolutely gorgeous weather, and the crowds turned out in force that day.
Was there a substantially, that's a horrific English I'm about to use, was there a substantial more amount of foot traffic than you would normally see at a competition that you're at?
I was quite surprised because it was a first-year contest, and they had done a fabulous job advertising and marketing the contest. We had some of the TV stations there. We had a lot of foot traffic. I would say a lot more than what I would expect for a first-year contest.
All right. How many teams ended up showing up?
I think it was about 40.
All right. So definitely a good size first event team, 40 teams showing up. Let's go ahead and look at your individual categories, if we could, and we'll go ahead and review them as they're called out. Typically, during the announcements, you start with chicken. You get a fourth overall in chicken. As far as that day is concerned, how good did the chicken taste to you, and were you satisfied with a fourth place?
I thought I cooked four very good entries, and as with anything else with the judging, there is quite a lot of luck involved. We did well in the chicken entry and the brisket entry. The ribs and pork didn't do so well, but, you know, overall, we just won by just barely about 1 point. It was between 660 and 661 or something, and within 1.18 points, there were the placings for first, second, and third.
Yeah, so hugely close. So fourth place chicken overall, nice way to get started. You get a 16th in ribs, so as it's happening, of course, you get no call. How did the ribs seem to you as far as turning that day? Were you happy with the product? Did the overall score end up reflecting where they were at? What do you think?
I think the ribs were very good, but unfortunately that day, the scores for all the four categories were very close. So give you an example, within 5 points, there may be about nine teams. So it was really a razor-thin margin, and when I didn't get any call for both ribs and the pork, I thought that that wouldn't be the day for me.
So in keeping with no calls, pork, so you're getting back-to-back no calls. Pork is 12th. How did the pork turn out to you? Did you like it?
Pork was as good as I know how to cook pork. Yeah. For some reason, we don't seem to be scoring so consistently in the top 10 in pork. We finished third in the nation in pork last year. Mm-hmm. But this year, I seem to be struggling a bit with my pork, even though I haven't really changed anything. So it may be time for me to kind of change things up.
Brisket, third overall, so you get another call, and of course it's very high, so you have two very high calls. You have no idea where you're sitting at with the other two. We'll get into that here in a second as far as where the mindset is. Happy with the brisket, I would imagine.
Happy with the brisket. It turned out well, so I was relieved that I got a call for brisket, so that would still put me in the running, even though I thought my chances were slim, since we had three teams that had three calls.
So let me ask you this question, and we've kind of alluded to it already. You get the two calls. Do you grip pretty hard thinking that the other two might have tanked pretty bad, or do you figure that maybe you were just out of the top 10, so you still probably had a decent shot at winning the thing?
Well, I think when they were calling all the way to second and third, and I had not been called, and I sort of settled back in my chair and resigned myself to the fact that, oh, okay, I must be 11 because there were three teams that had to be called. So I thought those three teams would place a first, second, and third. And because I had no call, I probably placed way past, say, 11th or 12th place.
Is it inherent in a pit? I can't tell you, Harry, the last time. No, I can tell you one person, and that was the guys from Motley Q Crew Barbecue. And they must have a different mindset than everybody else. But every pitmaster that I've ever asked that question to, they never fire right back with, I knew I must have been just out of the top 10. I was definitely going to win that thing. They're always like, I must have tanked off so bad that they're always resigning themselves to the fact that they are not going to win. Is that just more or less the common theme amongst the pitmasters that you know?
You know, that's a pretty common theme because I will tell you, it is really so hard to win nowadays with so many good teams putting out so much good product. I had already won three grand championships in the last three events, so I thought to myself, well, there's no way we can pull a four-peat. And I just resigned myself to 11th place. So when they called my name, I was truly shocked when they called my name for GC.
All right, so, and I did want to clarify this at the top. You are currently running a four-win streak, right?
I cooked four events. A couple were doubles. So in technically, I've cooked six contests, and I've won four GCs, both in Arizona and in California, two each.
All right. So, you know, you're riding a very good wave. I guess we could say running, a four grand champ streak right now. Very difficult feat to pull off, as few are able to do it during the course of any competition season. I want to say last year, Tippy Canoe came to mind as maybe winning four in a row at one point towards the middle of the summer. But when you're in the midst of a run like this, Harry, are you going into each contest now feeling more and more confident in that you, or do you think that this is going to be the event that the streak is going to come to an end now?
You know, I never could be expectations. So I think, Greg, that's one thing you know about me. I cook basically with intention from my heart to do my best. And most importantly, I cook to have a good time. To me, it's a way to kind of get away from my regular job and just go into that whole barbecue environment and hang out with my friends and just have a good time.
All right, Harry Sue joining us here on the show. The website, by the way, slapyodaddybbq.com. You know, Harry, I've been asking pitmasters over the past couple months about flavor profiles at events. What do you think's winning, or perhaps a better question might be, what do you think the judges are looking for? Is it still kind of the same, sweet profile, the Blues Hog sauce type stuff, or is it starting to vary towards a more savory aspect? Because I've heard that too a couple times.
I've been slowly evolving my profiles the past 6 months to try to move into the top ranks. And, you know, you always sort of kind of have to go against the grain in the contrarian mode. So if everybody's cooking, say, spicy out in the West, then I try to tone it down. What's working really now is ultra sweet. And believe it or not, Kansas City style sweet is working in the West for a change. So I'm kind of moving towards very sweet barbecue.
If you see a meat start to fall off a little bit, Harry, what kind of a process do you go through to bring it back up and score? And I guess this might kind of tie back to the pork that you're struggling with a little bit right now.
The way it works is cooking a barbecue contest is like tuning a 12-cylinder engine. So if you can imagine, each cylinder is taste, tenderness, and appearance, right, times four. So what I do after every contest is I put my pictures and my scores on a Word document, and I look through the pictures and ask myself, how can I make, say, the appearance better? How can I make the taste better? And how can I make the texture better?
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. Harry, I know you're still teaching classes. How well are these things going over for you, and how many are actually on the docket for this year?
I originally started to teach classes because my coworkers kind of asked me to do them a favor, and that was 4 years ago. So I started teaching my coworkers, and they told their friends and neighbors, and they told their friends. And would you believe it, Greg, my classes are now full 6 to 7 months ahead, so I'm sold out till September.
All right, and so, like, what are the do you have different themed classes, or is it the same Harry Sue class, and you're just booked out 6-7 months in advance? You're going to be doing the same thing each and every class.
I've tried to vary the formula for the class, but what I find that seems to work with most people is I teach a lot of backyarders. I teach a lot of certified barbecue judges, and I teach a pretty good scattering of competition teams. For example, four of my students made it to the Jack Daniels last year. So I cover essentially, even though I call it a backyard class, I call it a 101 class, I'm actually teaching 80% of my competition technique in class using a lot of the products like sauces and rubs and injections that won our team, Best New Team, in 2008. So it's really a comp class disguised as a backyard class.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show from Slap Your Daddy Barbecue. Harry, are you surprised that you're not seeing more people that you would go up against during the course of a weekend? It seems like some of these other guys or some of the other pitmasters who put on these classes have a lot of other pitmasters from other teams showing up to their classes to see if they can shig every last detail.
Yes, and I actually have I teach about a dozen students at a time. Usually I get two or three students who are competitors. In fact, I've trained a lot of the competitors that have gone on to beat me at contests. For example, I trained the first woman grand champion of California. I also trained the first woman grand champion of Arizona. So I have a lot of alumni that have gone on to do well. I cannot really believe it that even though I'm teaching them a dozen at a time, I've taught almost 500 students. So I'm just completely blown away by the number that have come through my class.
Are you more excited to do classes? Or are you more excited to do competitions? Is it a mixture of both, or are they completely two separate monsters?
Well, I like to compete because that's where the thrill is. But, you know, teaching barbecue classes gives me a chance to do what I really want to do, which is spread happiness. So people always ask me, Harry, are you teaching a barbecue class? I'm not really teaching a class. I'm teaching a class for happiness. Because in life, we all know kind of where we are going to end up. And what really that truly matters in life is to be able to be loved and give love. So a lot of people say, you know, I'm not loved. But did you give love? So what happens in my class is once you learn how to cook barbecue, you're able to spread barbecue happiness and spread love. And that always is a good thing.
All right. Now, I got to find this picture. Jeepers creepers. Where is it? Hold on. Okay, here it is. And you made mention to it here in an email. I'm going to throw this picture up here for everybody to take a look at. Oh, I got to move Steve DeFranco out of the way. A lot of teams out there cooking on huge rigs, 40-foot trailers, jambo pits, 13, 14, 25, $1 billion worth of equipment that are out there. You're a little bit more of the less is more aspect. I'm showing a picture of your setup right now. That Weber Smoky Mountain looks like it's about 10 years old and it's been put through hell and back. Give us a little explanation of your setup and why it works for you.
Well, you know, my whole philosophy is a minimal footprint and less is more. So I cook basically the bare minimum amount of meat on an 18-inch WSM, and I cook a whole contest with something like 3/4 bag of charcoal. So I'm really a small footprint team, and I find that it's really never about the pit. It's always about a pit master. If you know what you're doing, you can actually go out and cook against the best of the best using a $250, $300 smoker. So that has brought already a lot of people into barbecue. When I go out and compete, I see all these new teams that have kind of taken our cue and gone out and bought these smokers and trying their hand in barbecue. And that's the way, really, to bring more people to the sport.
Do you kind of snicker behind your canopies that are made by Impact Canopies because you see all of these huge pits and it's almost like you're getting away, you're getting over on them because your investment is so minimal compared to what everybody else is paying for?
I like to think of it this way, Greg. There's no right and no wrong on how you want to cook barbecue. Because if you truly enjoy what you do and you cook from the heart, you can be a pellet head, you can be a stick burner, you can be a UDS, you can be a WSMer. It really doesn't matter so long as you're having a good time. Because that's really what barbecue is about. It's not really about kind of like, one upsmanship against your competitor. Because at least on a California circuit, we have just so many friends who all enjoy the same passion. We come from all different walks of life. And the weekend is a way to kind of get away from the stress and the hustle of our daily lives and go out and really just have a good time and chill and relax and just cook some great barbecue.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. You're working on a new website. What can fans of Harry Sue expect when it actually launches out and goes live?
I get so many requests for recipes, and I've spent the last 30 years of my life cooking and creating unique recipes, and I've been writing all these recipes in emails and little cocktail napkins to everyone. So I decided, why don't I just put all my recipes on my website? And I'm in the process of reading my entire website. I hired a professional programmer, so it doesn't look like kind of like the homegrown system I have. And I'm going to try to turn it into a destination site where people can get great recipes. I think that some of the recipes are going to be featured in some of the other books that kind of like some of the other authors that I'm kind of working with. So you see basic recipes such as like Southern fried chicken and what are the special ingredients that I put in to make my fried chicken special.
All right, Harry, I read this and I about fell off my chair because typically opening up restaurants is a very dangerous venture. But you have plans for a brick-and-mortar restaurant. They are in the works right now with your catering business partner.
Yes, I get a lot of catering requests for parties and so on, and I've been working with actually several of my students who own restaurants. So I train a lot of restaurant and caterers. So I found a good business partner that handles my large catering gig. So sometimes we do poker parties for 300 people. So he has actually a restaurant in a butcher shop, and he really wants to rebrand his restaurant into a Slap Your Daddy Smokehouse. So we're kind of talking through some of the legal aspects and how to take his barbecue to the Slap Your Daddy level. And that's probably going to happen in the next 6 months.
All right, so we'll look forward to that. Now, you have a couple products here, actually one that's jumping out right at me. You know, everybody uses up these Easy Up canopies. You're a user of perhaps a different brand. What separates these Impact canopies from the traditional Easy Ups?
You know, when I competed, I used to use a plain white canopies, and I used to bring all my banners and all my accomplishments with me. And now I decided, you know, it's about time after being a 4-year team that I have some decent canopies. So I had a good buddy of mine who is from Chain Smoker Barbecue Team, whose company actually makes these canopies. And I was really blown away by the quality and the graphics that he had created for me. So if you go to my website, look at all my blogs, you'll see pictures of those beautiful flame canopies that he had made for me.
Right here, you know I got to ask you this because you were on season one of Barbecue Pitmasters, which, I mean, nobody knew it at the time, right? But look at two episodes or two series back and a couple other, you know, one-off shoots. Season one seems to be like the gold standard of whatever reality TV barbecue should be on television now, and you are a part of that. Season three is going to be rolling out at some point towards Memorial Day. There has been no official announcement of teams. Did you audition for that, and are you excited to see that come back? Would you hope it goes off to the corner and dies at some point? Where do you weigh out on that?
You know, I'm always excited when any barbecue show makes it on TV because regardless of the format, you know, more exposure for barbecue means more exposure for the sport, and that's good for all of us who love and are so passionate about barbecue. To answer your question, I did turn in an audition tape to the Pitmaster folks. I haven't heard back yet, so I have no idea if they'll call me back.
All right. Would you do it if they called you? You would be excited to do that?
Absolutely. If you want me to cook a raccoon, you want to cook an armadillo, I'm the man to do that.
All right. Harry Sue joining us here on the show. Harry, where are you going to be competing at next?
I'm headed to Las Vegas, and I'm headed to Mesa, which is in the Phoenix area. I'm actually going to try to win a Harley. It's been on my bucket list to own a Harley. So they're offering a Harley to the winner of the doubleheader.
All right. Well, we wish you good luck at that. We're talking with Harry Sue, pitmaster of Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue, which you can find at slapyodaddybbq.com. Harry, continued success, and thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Greg.
All right, you got it.